wonderful and special speaker. We have really been hoping that it would be possible for Brother Glass to continue speaking to us again and again. And we realized at one time his health had become very, very weak. In fact, it's just a miracle of God that he is with us today. Through all the physical trials Brother Glass has been through, it's truly wonderful that God has brought him back to the School of Missions in 1988, and feeling so strong and renewed physically, and I'm sure renewed in every way. Now, for those of you who are new missionaries here, maybe I should just mention that Brother Glass has been a part of our foreign missions work for many, many years. In fact, he was a member of the Foreign Missionary Board. He is even the one who really got the Ladies Auxiliary program started in providing appliances for the missionaries, because it was his desire to see missionaries blessed in this way, that helped them to see what they could do in helping the missionary cause by providing refrigerators and other appliances. So Brother Glass, through the years, has made a tremendous contribution to the missionary cause. Always been strong and supportive of our missionaries, helped in every way he could. But now it's for a number of years that Brother Glass has also been coming, along with his precious wife, to the School of Missions, and has blessed our missionaries year after year. Tapes are made of his devotional messages and sent to our missionaries all over the world. His ministry has been heard not only by missionaries, but these tapes have been shared with many nationals who could understand English. And the ministry he has given and blessed us with at the School of Missions has been felt all over the world. And those of you who are veterans need no introduction of Brother and Sister Glass. You already know what a blessing their ministry has been to you. And I think that we are highly honored, and I'm very sincere in saying that we are honored to have Brother and Sister Glass with us again this year in the School of Missions. Brother Glass is not only a marvelous preacher of the gospel, but his life has been consistent. He has proven with his life what he preaches through his ministry. And to me, that makes his ministry so far more effective and so far more wonderful. And we are honored to have this precious man of God. We welcome you, Brother Glass. We're thrilled that you're here. And we want you to take your liberty and preach to us and stir us up and help us to be better servants of the Lord.
Thank you, Brother Sisson. It takes you a little while after he gets through introducing you to hold your head up. Can't look people in the face after he has said so many beautiful things. And I appreciate it so very, very much. God bless Brother Sisson. And the Lord bless you, precious missionaries. I felt like in prayer this morning that I was going to speak to some of the greatest people on earth. Now, I really believe that. Some of the greatest people in the world is sitting here today. Not only children of God, that's great. We don't know how wonderful it is to be a child of God. But then, missionaries, one of the highest callings in all the world is called to be a missionary. I think that's I don't want to minimize the importance of the call to the ministry. I feel like it's the highest calling in all the world. But then go on as a missionary after you're called into the ministry. I think it's just a glorious step, a wonderful thing. I've often wondered, Lord, what was it about me that you wouldn't let me be a missionary? Why wouldn't you, Lord? I just think it's such a honor and a high calling to represent the cause of God in foreign fields. And I'm just happy to be here with you today. You don't know how happy I am to be with you. I'm not supposed to even be alive, but here I am. Praise God at the School of Missions to worship God with you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. Thank God. I see several here that has been here before in schools where we were. How many are there here? Now, these field representatives and these officials, they're here every year. But how many missionaries are there here that this is more than, this is your second school that I have ministered to you? My, my. Just look at them. I think this is my 12th year. Would there be any here that's attended three? Look at there. My. I think that's just wonderful for me that I got to see you come back three times. Praise the Lord. One thing about it, though, that I remind myself of, you didn't come to hear me preach. You came because of School of Missions. I know that. You see, I have the advantage of you. You can't walk out unless you really... Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm just talking, try to get a little closer to you before I introduce my thought. Sometimes it's just hard to walk up here and you're staring at me and go to preaching. When I'm preaching places, I usually ask the pastor to permit me to sit in the audience until time to minister. And a lot of times they want to know why. I said, well, when I go to the pulpit, I want to look fresh to the people. I don't want to sit on the platform an hour and a half and let them stare at me. Me sitting there staring at them. And when I come, I'm fresh to them and they are to me. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's praise Him one more time. Thank God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. I'm very pleased myself, for myself, about the thought that I intend to share with you this morning. I don't know how fitting it will be. I tell preachers this in preaching, if you will find an appropriate subject for the occasion, you have half the battle won. You can't, a preacher just can't come here to the School of Mission just preach anything. Well, he got to have something fitting for the occasion, and then half the battle is won. And I trust that what I feel is fitting here this morning. I know it fits me. It blessed me. And I'm convinced if I can find something that'll bless me, it'll bless somebody else. If it don't bless you, don't try to bless nobody else with it. If you can't bless yourself with it, you better lay it aside. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you. And I'm reading from the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus, fourth chapter. And I'm going to minister to you for the next few minutes on the thought of a miracle before and after completion. Now, many times a miracle is just like that, but sometimes it's over a period of time, and I want to share that with you this morning. A miracle before and after completion. And I'm reading Exodus chapter 4, and beginning with verse 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. Now, I suppose some of you, in feeling your call to foreign fields, have thought of the same things that Moses mentioned here. Lord, they will not believe me. They will not hear me. Well, then the Lord spoke to Moses. The Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? What do you have in your hand? And I'm going to tell you people, you could just preach from that for just an indefinite period of time. What is that in thine hand? The Lord uses what is in our hands to further His call. What's already in your hand? And he said, A rod. I have a rod in my hand. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. Now, this is a miracle in the making. In the making. It isn't completed yet. It's just in the making. And it frightened Moses. This miracle in the making, before completed, frightened Moses. He ran from it. And if a miracle in the making will frighten Moses, it stands to reason a miracle in the making could frighten us. I've noticed this. I better finish this and let you sit down before I get started preaching. I was fixing to get started. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. The miracle is now completed. It's now completed. That's a miracle in the making and completed. And I'm going to show you several more if I have time. Lord bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We really haven't praised the Lord yet this morning. You stood there and looked up here at me and Brother Sism. Let's worship God just a few moments here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank the Lord. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You may be seated. Lord, bless your precious hearts. I so appreciate our missionary officials. I was thinking how blessed we are to have such men as Brother Sism, Brother Judd, Brother Leland, Brother Rodenbush, heading this division, and I'm in a position to tell you it's just going places. It's doing more than it's ever done, and our pastors on the field are better satisfied and happier with our foreign mission division than I've ever known them to be. You see, preachers talk when they get together about you folks. They sure do talk about the division and what it's doing, and I'm just so happy with it. Praise the Lord. I started to say a few minutes ago, and I decided to finish reading and let you be seated. I think maybe on the day of Pentecost, they really had a little advantage of our evangelism in this part of the country anyway. Our people come to church, and our friends that come to church, they know our message. We preach it all the time. They know when they go to the altar and repent of their sins, they're to receive the Holy Ghost, and they're to speak in tongues. But you'd be surprised to know the people that's afraid to speak in tongues. I've seen them just grit their teeth, bite their tongue, just keep from speaking in tongues. I'd talk to them, reason with them. Now, on the field, it may not be that way with you. They may receive the Holy Ghost, speak in tongues like they did on the day of Pentecost, not know nothing about tongues until they're speaking in tongues. You see, on the day of Pentecost, they didn't know they were going to speak in tongues when they received the Holy Ghost. They just went to the upper room to tarry until. And the Lord never necessarily told them they're going to speak in tongues, just going to receive the promise. Praise the Lord. And when the promise came, they spoke in tongues. But now, people know they're going to speak in tongues, and they're just a little afraid. You know that, don't you? How many of you have experienced that in your field before you went to the mission field? Well, I don't know why. I don't know why we would be afraid of a miracle that God can perform. He's not going to hurt no one with his miracle. But he told Moses to throw that rod down on the ground, and when he did, it became a serpent. And Moses fled from it because he was afraid. And then the Lord told him to pick it up. And years ago, I don't know whether you dear people ever heard anything about it or not, but years ago, I heard quite a bit about it when I started. They preached picking up serpents. And some ministers did. I know ministers that picked up serpents. Now, I never did. Any time I'd have picked one up, I would have done exactly like Moses. I'd have slipped up and got it by the tail. And if it hadn't have turned to a rod, I'd have turned it loose and run. I really would. But people picked them up. And there is a people in some parts of the country that still takes up serpents. Sometimes they get bit by them. And they die from the results of it. And I wish people understood that passage of Scripture. Started to call the church, but I'm not going to do it. A minister of a church, he came to me with some poison. And he said, I want you to drink this poison. I said, you give me some scripture for me drinking poison, and I'll drink it. But you're going to have to give me some scripture. He said, well, don't you know Mark 16:16? I said, yes, sir. I said, do you? He said, yes. I said, well, then quote it. And he was glad to quote it. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and baptized shall be saved. These signs shall follow them that believe. They shall speak with new tongues, and they shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. And I said, who is to drink that poison? Who is to drink it? He said, believers. I said, believers in what? And he saw he was caught. He was a preacher. Said he was preaching the gospel. He said,
Well, believers of the gospel. I said, well, are you a believer? Do you believe the gospel? I said, it didn't say Pentecostals will pick up serpents and drink poison. It said believers. Believers in the gospel. Are you a believer in the gospel of Jesus Christ? He said, yes. I said, drink your own poison. I don't care for it. That's not my interpretation of that passage of Scripture. If that's yours, drink your own poison. And he left me alone. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I'm going to show you another miracle. Now, no one questions the creation of the universe being a miracle. Now, that is a miracle. And I believe with all of my heart, everything that's within me, that God actually took nothing. Nothing, if you know what that is, nothing, and created this world and hung it on nothing. These planets, he just flung them out into space and just told them to stay there. They're there. He did that. Praise God. I'm glad I believe that. Now you read. You open your Bibles to the first chapter of Genesis. You open it and let's look at it. Let's look at this fantastic miracle in the making. Now, he didn't just create everything in one word and it is just like it is now. No. It is in the making. It went through a process of making. He said, in the beginning, I'm going to read along with you. I wanted you to read it with me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that's a miracle. Now, let's watch him do it. And the earth was without form. Now, I wonder if we could have seen it, what it would have looked like. I just wonder what it would have looked like. It's without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now this is in the end, in the middle. And sometimes we don't give God time in our church activities. We want miracles, and we want it just like that. We don't give God time to perform that miracle that he wants to perform for us. He may not do it just at the snap of your finger. It may be in a process as is here where he created the earth. And I thank God. I think you're a miracle. But God bless your heart, you haven't always been right where you are. Took God a while to, and he's not finished with you yet. You're still in the making. Praise God. Thank the Lord for the miracle working God.
Hallelujah.
Thank the Lord. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. You see, it's step by step, step by step. It's in the making. It's in the making. And it goes on several verses, and when it's completed, finished, it seemed to me like God just took a long look at it and said, it's good. It's good. Now that's a miracle, but it just was in process, just step at a time. Praise God. God may be working a miracle in your life at this present time, but look at it right now. It don't look too much
like a miracle. It's in the making. Let God finish with it. I know a lot of people that run off before God gets through with them, gets through with what he wants to do for them. They're discouraged and give up and throw up their hands when if they just wait on the Lord, just wait on him, he'll work it out. And how many of you have just gone through things in your ministry and in your life that you didn't understand? It is discouraging. It is overwhelming. And you found yourself just almost ready to throw up your hands, but you just didn't. And after a while, it all come together and you saw God was in everything is being done. How many of you experienced that? I have. Praise God and just get down and repent that I even thought anything at all about it. Lord, next time I'm just going to hold my peace and wait and look and just give you time to work out what you want to work out for us. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. A miracle in the making. Now, here is a miracle. Now it's a miracle. It was a miracle. I mean, a wonderful miracle. And you've heard it, and you're going to hear it again, and you're going to preach it again. Naaman dipping in Jordan 7 times and getting his healing was a miracle. Now, it was a miracle. How would the world look at that captain of Syrian host standing out there in the middle of River Jordan in those muddy, troubled waters with his position in life, a dipping? Never. I don't know if anyone had ever done that before. We don't have any record of it. Don't have any record of it. But there he is. I wonder how that looked to the world. If the world was a-looking. Wonder how it looked. I don't know as anyone could really understand it, but Elisha, the prophet, had told him to go dip. And he dips 2 or 3 times and still a leper. Just as wet as he's going to ever get. But he's still a leper. Now you reason that out in your mind. Just reason it out. Why has he got to dip again? He can't get no wetter than what he is. And he's in the river the Lord told him to go to. We don't figure God out in our mind. We just got to trust the Lord. Obey and trust. Just do what he says and then just trust him for the results. You can't make the results, no way. You can't do it. And if you can't do it, well, why stand there and reason and wonder and think? Just go ahead and do what the Lord said and let him do the work. Let him perform the miracle. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We kind of want to perform it ourselves. I can't forget Brother Barnes, one of the finest men you ever met. Around Minden, where he lives, he has stretched tents this town around about over the years and held revivals. People would drive into his church if they didn't maybe build one where he held the tent revival. Or anyway, he stretched his tent in the place. Got a painter and a man to come out and build a sign and a painter to paint. Barnes Healing Campaign. Tent, everything's all ready for the first service. It's several miles from Minden, a little town next town to Minden. Long about 5 o'clock in the afternoon. He thought he was going to drive over and see if everything's ready for the service. And he drove over, and there's the sign, Barnes Healing Campaign. He said he looked at that sign, and while he was looking at it, said, the Lord said to him, said, I hope you have a good time. And he said, I looked at that, and the more I looked at it, the more I was impressed. The Lord said, I hope you enjoy it. Have a real good meeting. He said, brother, he called that painter, told him to come back and paint Barnes off of there. Paint it off. Put on that sign, Jesus heals, and leave Barnes off of it. I've heard him tell it, so I don't mind telling you. If we can just keep ourselves out of the way and let God,
praise the Lord.
We become involved in it ourselves if we don't watch. We want to get a little credit and so forth. I prayed for so and so, and he got his healing. I've heard that. Well, thank God that they got healed. You prayed, but you didn't heal them.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. God is in the healing. The Lord does it. He's the healer. Thank God. I wasn't supposed to get well. Doctor specialist came out and told Sister Glass she's waiting outside. Her and some others, and said, he'll more than likely be dead when I get back in there. And here I am. But I told those doctors, I said, you didn't think I was going to make it, did you? And of course, I knew them. They said, well, we practiced on you. And really, that's their profession, practicing. Practicing. One thing don't work, they'll practice something else. How many of you ever heard it called practicing medicine? Yes, sir. But the Lord don't practice. Praise God. When He does it, it's done. I know I've introduced a thought to you that you clearly understand. I know that. But I want you to just visualize that miracle half completed. Just half completed. You can't see a thing done. All the difference in Naaman, he's standing out there in the river and he's wet. But if he'll go on and finish what God said do, there'll be a miracle. And if we'll go on and finish. Don't start. Don't stop halfway. Go on through with what we're told to do. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. And now, Naaman's healed. Miracle. It's finished. It's completed. And what a miracle. He comes out and you could preach a long time on the after math of that marvelous healing. Yeah, I'd like to tell you what he wanted with those 2 mule loads of dirt, but I don't have time. I just, too much here, and times are getting away from me anyway. I want to show you another, and I know this how would it have looked? The Lord meets a blind man when he was on the earth. And the Lord spits on the ground and kind of moistens a little dirt, sand, or clay, and he puts it on that man's eye, blind from birth. Now, Brother Sism, this is one of the strong point for me on the oneness of God. God created man in the beginning from clay. And here's a man born blind. He's incomplete. He's incomplete. And he meets the one that created him. And the one that took clay and made his hands and feet and every other part of his body took the same mixture, the same ingredients, and finished this man. Put it on his eyes and told him to go dip. Now you visualize that man going to dip with that clay on his eyes. If he'd have met somebody, they'd have turned around and looked in amazement. But the miracle is not complete. Don't marvel at it. Don't even wonder about it. Wait. Wait till it's finished. Praise the Lord. And that man went and he dipped and here he comes to see you. And it's finished now. A miracle in the making and complete. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. So many more. Now, let me tell you good people this. This glorious, wonderful church that we're in, that we're part of, and we're trying to preach the gospel to others that they can come into this marvelous church of the living God. It is not yet complete. It is not perfect yet. And I'm going to preach one more, and I better not ruin it now. Oh, I'm going to stay off of it now. Because it's going to be a special service. The work from the very beginning of time up until now is not finished. It's not finished. You see the church today, the world sees the church today as Moses' miracle, incomplete. Frighten some off. There's just a lot of people of they're not afraid of us like they used to be, but they used to be afraid of us. I remember the day when they didn't want to come near the front seats of the church. It wasn't churches, arbors and tents. And don't get too close. They'll throw that powder on you. And we have got electric wire running down through that altar. People lean over that altar and they'll turn that switch and shock them around. They think they got the Holy Ghost. That's what they thought. Afraid of us. Afraid of us. But we brought them away from that. Thank God the church is moving on. Moving on. Got out of that. Our part of the world anyway. I was preaching in an arbor meeting. And they threw rotten eggs at me. And I didn't know it. They didn't hit me. Church people told me about it after the service. I said, well, that's wonderful. They threw stones at Stevens and they hit him. But those days in our part of the country's past. But that's where you see the church come through that. Come through that in many parts of the country. Now, I don't know what some of you precious missionaries have faced on the field in the beginning of your ministry and your wherever you are. You may have met similar things, but that's all in the making. In the making. You see the church going through that period, then you see what the world sees is the man with a spittle on his eyes. It's a puzzle. It's a marvel. It's not completed yet. Church isn't completed yet.
God is working on His masterpiece right now. The masterpiece is the church, and He's using us, praise God, in the work to finish the work that He's done. I'm going to stay off that now because I'm going to get on that another time. Thank the Lord for a miracle-working God. I felt like this in prayer. I felt like this. Among the missionaries that I'm going to speak to this morning, some among them, I don't say all of them, but God's working a miracle in some of your lives. It's not finished yet, and it's a marvel to you. You don't understand it. It kind of looks like the man walking down the road with spittle on his eyes. It kind of looks like Naaman out in the middle of Jordan a-dipping. It kind of looks that way. And it looks void and without form and no light. As the creation. But just be faithful. Be patient. Wait on God. Give Him time. And He's going to finish the miracle that He's begun in your life. In your work. Praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Let's praise the Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.